Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
I love the scripture in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. And there's a prayer there, and Paul is actually praying for the church at Thessalonica. He's praying this prayer. It's amazing that God, who is the God who is the one who makes us complete. He's the God who makes us complete. Can you say that with me right there where you're at? Complete. Paul is praying this prayer for the church of Thessalonica, and he says, I pray for the God who would make you complete, spirit, soul, and body. You know, God cares about our spiritual walk. God cares about our emotions. That's our soul. And God cares about us physically. He wants us to walk in health. Notice in that verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, spirit, soul, and body. You know, when I went to college, the motto for the college that I went to, Southwestern University, the motto was this: the whole gospel for the whole man. The gospel is the word of God. What was this saying? It was saying that the word of God is the answer for us spiritually, physically, emotionally, in every area of our life, physically, socially, every area of our life. So I want to pray for you right now. You say, Pastor, I'm struggling emotionally right now. I need a touch from God emotionally. God wants us to be complete spiritually, emotionally, and physically. I'm going to pray that prayer over you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that we can gather together online. I thank you that we can come together through our digital church. And Father, it knows no distance. Your word knows no distance. And I send your word right now to everyone who's watching or listening. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. God, that you would complete us, every one of us, completeness in you, spirit, soul, and body. But especially right now, God, I pray for those who are dealing with their emotions. They're dealing with being up one day and down the next. They're dealing with emptiness and loneliness. They're dealing with fear and panic and worry, fretting, can't sleep. God, I pray for them right now. Touch them spiritually, but also emotionally as well as physically. I send the word to heal them right now, God, to restore, to establish, to make strong, to heal, to renew. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen and amen. I want to talk to you today, this weekend, on how to conquer loneliness. How to conquer, the guys have got it on the screen, how to conquer loneliness. I tell you, that's an epidemic right now as well. And that is hurting people as well right now. The epidemic of loneliness. How to conquer loneliness. You know, a few years ago, our family, we went on vacation to San Francisco. And we took the tour through San Francisco, but we also took the tour to Alcatraz. And you know, we went there to Alcatraz on the island. They take you through the whole prison. And then towards the end of the tour, they take you to this place. And they said, that's where we put the worst of the worst. And that's what we call solitary confinement. Solitary confinement. Do you realize that being alone is not God's will? Being alone is kind of like punishment. It's kind of like correction. Have you ever sent, those of you who are parents, you sent your kids to the room to correct them. You tell Johnny or Susie, you've been acting up, go to your room, stay there by yourself until you can, you know, do right, act right. What is that? Well, we kind of see as being alone, solitary, as being punishment, as being correction. And I'm thinking in the Bible, right at the very beginning, in the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve, God said, when he created them, he said, it's not good. It's not good for you to be alone. I want to talk to you today. Maybe you're feeling lonely all by yourself. Maybe you're in quarantine or confinement. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're just going through a season right now where you feel like no one's there to help you. You feel like there's no one there to lift you up or support you. I just want to encourage you, if you're looking for a church home, you found one here at Church on the Rock. We encourage you to sign the response card today. Someone will get back with you. Join one of our small groups. Start a small group of your own. But it's not good for us to do life alone. We need one another. We need relationships. We were created for connection. And whatever crisis you might be in today, it's so important that when you're going through a crisis of any kind, that you're connected to someone, that you're connected to the right someone. So I want to share some scriptures with you, and then I'm going to give you four action steps to walk away with today to conquer loneliness in your life today. So let's look at it. Our first scripture is Psalm 142, verse 3 and 4. And this is David, and he's in a cave, and he's kind of in quarantine. He's kind of all by himself. He's kind of locked in and locked down. He's running from King Saul and Saul's army, and he's held captive in a cave. He feels all alone. And in his situation, what did he do? We can look at what he did, and then we can apply that to our life. And just like he conquered loneliness, we can conquer loneliness as well. So let's look at it. David said, "For when I was desperate, when I was overwhelmed," you ever felt overwhelmed? Maybe you are today. "When I was desperate and overwhelmed and about to give up," maybe you're watching or you're listening today and you feel like giving up. Suicide is a higher rate in America now than any other nation in the world. Why? People are giving up. They're giving up. They're hopeless. They're desperate. They're overwhelmed. Things have been taken from them. The world has been turned upside down. They don't know what the future holds. We're in a time of uncertainty. What should we do? David shows us what to do. He said, "When I was desperate, when I was overwhelmed, when I was about to give up, you, God, were the only one there to help me." Oh my goodness. You know, that makes me think of our mission at Church on the Rock. What is it? To lead people to a God who's for them, a God who wants to help them. I want you to know that God is never behind bad things. God is a good God, and God wants good for you and wants good for me. Whatever is bad comes from the devil. The Bible says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, "I came to give you life and life more abundantly." So David said, "I feel alone." Maybe that's you today. "I feel like giving up. I feel desperate. I'm overwhelmed. I'm crushed. I'm burnt out. I feel like there's no one there. Those that I could thought I could depend on, I found out I can't depend on them. What should I do?" Run to God. Run to God. Look to God. He said that you were the only one there to help me. And he says to God, "You gave me a way. When it seems like there is no way, God has a way. God has a way. With God, there's always a way. Without God, there isn't. But with God, there's always a way." Do you know we have a small group that meets on Thursday night called Celebrate Recovery? It's for people who have habits and addictions and things they want to conquer, a hurt, a hang-up, a habit. And we're there to help them every Thursday night, small groups. And you know what we tell them? There is a way. They may come hopeless and helpless and feel like no one cares. They may feel like they're a throwaway to society. But here we have a small group Thursday nights, and we're letting people know there is a way. There is hope. God has an answer. God has a plan. God is a good God, and God is for you. He said that you have a way of escape from the hidden traps of my enemies. Next verse, verse 4. "I look to my left and I look to my right to see if there's anyone there to help me. But there's no one who takes notice of me." Somebody said, in bad times, the best comes out of people, or the worst. Maybe you've been let down. Maybe you've been disappointed in people that you thought were your friend. I think we all go through that. The good news is, get your eyes off your friend, or who you might have been your friend, or you found out they weren't really a friend. We've all gone through that. And look to God, who says, "I'll be your friend when you have no friend." Jesus said, "I'll be a friend that sticks closer to you than a brother in hard times and in good times." So he says, I looked to my left, I looked to my right. There wasn't anyone there to help me. There's no one who takes notice of me. I have no hope of escape, and no one cares whether I live or die. But what does he do? He looks to God. He runs to God. And that's what I want you to do today. Let me give you another scripture. What I'm doing right now is I'm giving you scripture to build your faith. Build your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I want to build your faith today. So let's look at this scripture, Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, there is nothing to fear. Seven little words that can change your life today. Seven little words. Fear not, for there's nothing to fear. Look what God said, for I am with you. You know, growing up, I have an older brother. He's in heaven today. His name is Rick. And, you know, he died young. He died. I was a junior in high school, and he was 6 years older than me. He died of a brain tumor. But he was my older brother growing up. And in junior high, you know, I loved to hang out with him. He was a car guy, motorcycle guy. I loved to go with him. I loved to ride in his cars. I can remember riding on the back of his Triumph motorcycle. I can remember riding the back of his Honda. He had a 305 Scrambler Honda. And I can remember listening to the Beach Boys, him singing about a Honda. I can remember those days. And you know what? I loved hanging out with my brother because as long as I was in his presence, I felt safe. As long as I was in his presence, I felt like he would take care of me. And you know what? A couple of times he did. There were times growing up when you know somebody would be picking on me, and all of a sudden, here came my brother out of nowhere, and that person that was picking on me, my brother was 6'4", weighed 250 pounds, played football. And I can remember all of a sudden they'd take off running. I remember one time, you know, it was in our front yard, and there was a neighborhood kid, and he was picking on me, and all of a sudden he took off running. I'm wondering, why are you running? I looked around. There was Rick, my older brother. Well, you know, that's what God said. Don't have to fear. I am with you. You don't have to run scared. I am with you. God's presence. Wow. The Bible says in his presence, all of our enemies melt like wax. Maybe the fear of loss, rejection, disappointment, of fear, worry, and whatever it is, depression, discouragement, loneliness. The Bible says all of our enemies, loneliness can be an enemy. They melt in his presence. He said, don't fear, for I am with you. Do not look around in terror and be discouraged, for I am with you. I will strengthen you and I will harden you, make you tough to handle tough situations. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up. I'll retain you with my victorious right hand of rightness and justice. Do you feel your faith building right now? Oh, I do. Do you feel your faith rising right now? I do. Tap into that. And now another verse to build your faith, Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. I'm not going to go through all of this, but I want you to see that he says, I will not, right there in the middle, I will not fail you nor give up on you. Oh, my goodness, aren't you glad he doesn't give up on us? Aren't you glad when other people give up on us? You know, I remember one time, another story. I remember one time I got in trouble. I'm a teenager. I got in trouble. And I had to go before a courtroom and a judge. And they were going to send me away from my family. I was in junior high to reform school. And I remember they asked my parents. My parents loved me, but they didn't know what to do with me. And they asked my parents, and my parents both said they loved me. But they said, we can't do anything with Dave. And so I go, oh, man, my stomach, I'm sitting there in that courtroom. I'm in junior high. And I remember the judge is about to put a sentence on me to send me away from my family to a reform school. And all of a sudden, my pastor was in the room. My pastor. And I remember he said, could I speak, judge? And the judge said, yeah. He stood up, my pastor. And my pastor said to that little Assembly of God church, my pastor said, I believe in Dave. I believe he's a good boy. I believe he's just been running around with the wrong people. Judge, I'll stand up for him. Oh, my goodness. He was saying, I'm not going to give up on Dave. Even when his parents who love him are giving up on him. His teachers have given up on him. His friends have given up on him. But my pastor of that little Assembly of God church said, I don't give up on him. And you know what? That changed everything. The judge said, okay, upon you, what you said, Reverend, whatever his name was, He said, we'll put him in, you know, I had to go through probation for a year. And every Friday, I had to meet with my probation officer. Pastor, what was that all about? It's none of your business. It's under the blood. I was in junior high. I'm a senior citizen now. Praise the Lord. But I'm just saying, he didn't give up on me. Aren't you glad that God doesn't give up on us? He said, I won't give up on you. I won't fail you. I'll keep supporting you. And then right down here, I will not. He just wants to remind us, I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless or forsake you or let you down. Oh, my goodness. I hear somebody saying right now, you know, I tried that God stuff and it just didn't work. Can I just say this? You didn't know how to work it. Because I know this, God said he'll never let me down for believing in him. Oh, I tried that Christian stuff. I tried that church stuff. It didn't work. I just want to tell you, don't get mad at me. Evidently, we didn't know how to work it because he said he would never disappoint us. Oh, maybe the church disappointed you. It has me. Oh, maybe Christians have disappointed you. They have me. But I'm here to tell you, God will never let you down. Now, what I want to do is I want to give you four principles. And how many of you know principles work in good times and principles work in bad times? Methods change, mission doesn't. You know, circumstances change, but God's principles, they're forever the same. Let me show you right now how to conquer loneliness. Number one, fellowship with Jesus Christ daily. Fellowship with him, spend time out. Something I can't do without is time out. Daily fellowship, daily spend time with Jesus Christ. Let me show you why. Psalm 25, verse 12, and we're going to go through verse 14. Look what it says. Who is the man or the woman who reverently fears and worships the Lord? So who's the person that worships God, honors God, fears God, respects God? Him, God will show them the way, show them right choices and decisions to make in life. Next verse, verse 13, he himself will what? Dwell at ease. Oh my goodness, are you looking for ease for whatever disease you're going through right now? Are you looking for relief? Are you looking for comfort? Are you looking for hope? Are you looking for a presence, a feeling, an atmosphere, an environment, some relief? Are you desperate, about to give up, overwhelmed? Got the answer. If you're looking for some relief, how do you spell it? J-E-S-U-S. Fellowship with Jesus daily, it will bring you ease from any disease in your life. Wow. He says, they will dwell at ease and their kids will inherit the land. Next verse. The secret, what's the key? The secret for ease and peace and comfort. The secret to conquer loneliness, what? Is the sweet, satisfying companionship. Do y'all see that word there? Companionship. A companionship of the Lord have they who revere and worship God. He will show them his covenant and reveal it to them, give them revelation. So what's the cure for loneliness? Companionship. Wow. Somebody said, who you run with, you become like. If we run with Jesus, we'll become like Jesus. If we hang out with Jesus every day, we take on his characteristics. So notice, through companionship with Jesus every day, what does it do? It gives us ease or rest or peace, and there's a satisfaction that comes from being with him that people can't give us. Ooh, I like that. Number two, cure how to conquer loneliness is fellowship with the Holy Spirit daily. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit daily. Years ago, a great friend of our ministry, I was on his board, Dr. Hilton Sutton. He was an end times prophecy teacher. Dr. Sutton is in heaven today. But him and his beautiful wife, they were such good friends of our ministry for decades. And I remember that when his wife passed away, you know, I remember they had been married for like 40 years. And when his wife passed away, I called him one night. He lived in Houston, Texas. Okay. I called him one night. I said, Hilton, how you doing? I said, you know, your beautiful, lovely wife has graduated to heaven. And I said, there you are all by yourself in your house there in Houston. Aren't you lonely? Can I do anything for you? Can we reach out to you? And here's what he said to me, Hilton Sutton. He said, Dave, I'm not lonely. I said, huh? He said, Dave, I don't feel alone. I don't feel by myself. He said, I'm doing great. I said, what's the secret? Here's what he told me. I never forgot it. I'm fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is a divine personality. The Holy Spirit is a real person. And we're to learn how to fellowship with him every day. And I never forgot that. Dr. Sutton said, here's how I'm getting through the grief of losing a loved one. Dr. Sutton said, here's how I'm making it. I've had my beautiful wife for all these decades, and now I'm by myself. But Dave, I'm not really by myself. And this is my hands on the Bible. If I'm lying, I'm frying. He said, I just walk through the house talking to the Holy Spirit. He said, I walk in the bedroom. I walk in the living room. And he said, when I find myself starting to get down and depressed and lonely, I just start talking to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. I yield to you. Manifest yourself big in my life, in my house. I never forgot that principle. So how do you cure and conquer loneliness? Not only every day do you fellowship with Jesus Christ, but number two, you fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So let me show you this scripture. John chapter 14, 16. Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will send you what? A comforter. And that's what you need if you're overwhelmed today. We all get overwhelmed. We all at one time or another want to give up. We all go through times. I remember, when my father passed away. I remember when my dad passed away. He's now in heaven. He died at age 56 of rheumatoid arthritis. It wasn't the arthritis that killed him. It was the medication they were giving him that killed. He was trial and error. They were testing. It was new drugs. And nobody meant for that to happen, but it killed him at age 56. My dad was my best friend. My dad, every Sunday night, we used to have church on Sunday night. And every Sunday night, my dad would have me call him. I call my dad, and my dad would say, how did services go, Dave? How many people got born again? How many people got filled with the Holy Spirit? How many did you have in Sunday school? How many did you have in church? Dave, I want to hear the report. I looked forward to that call every Sunday night. We lived 300 miles apart. And then one Memorial weekend, he died. He had a heart attack mowing his yard. Guess what? The next Sunday night wasn't real good for me. The next Sunday night after church, went back to my church, was pastoring. We had the services. I went home that night. Guess what? Phone didn't ring. And that was terrible. I felt all alone. I thought, my dad who counseled me, I go to him for direction and guidance. I don't have my dad anymore. But you know what? I'm so thankful. Even back then in the ministry, I knew about this verse that Jesus said, there's going to be times you're going to miss me. He's telling his disciples at the Last Supper. This is the Last Supper. And he's telling them, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send somebody just like me to help you through everything in life. You don't have to do life alone. And what did he say? I'm going to give you another one just like me, a comforter. And there are seven names here. And these seven names are the seven functions of the Holy Spirit. The seven functions of the Holy Spirit. And look, the Holy Spirit is a counselor. Well, you need a counselor today? The Holy Spirit is a helper, an intercessor, an advocate. Advocate means lawyer. A strengthener, a standby. He'll remain with you until you die, forever and throughout eternity. Aren't you glad? He'll stick with you. You'll never be alone. Every day, if you're born again, you're a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit every day. Number three, be a friend to someone else. How to conquer loneliness. Am I helping anybody? Boy, stay in that chat room. Plug into a small group. Take the next step. Join our ministry. Go through Growth Track. Get into a growing module here, something we have online for you. We're excited about what God's doing today. He's adding to the church. Amen. He's touching your life. He's bringing transformation. You don't ever have to be alone again. Even when you are alone, in Christ, you're never alone. I love that. So be a friend to someone else. And I like this, Luke 6, verse 31. And as you, somebody called this the golden rule. And as you would like, look at that word, as you would like and desire that men would do to you, do exactly. I chose the Amplified version for that word exactly. Ooh, that's excellence. That's detail. That's purposeful. That's intentional. That's getting up every day and on purpose being a good person, being a kind person, reaching out to others, helping others. Look for a need and fill it. Look for a problem and solve it. Look for a hurt and heal it. Oh, yeah. In other words, what he's saying is what you want people to do to you, do for them. Somebody said, you know, I don't have any friends. I want friends. The Bible says, if I want friends, I've got to show myself friendly. It's sowing and reaping. So how do you conquer loneliness? Be a friend. Find somebody who needs a friend and be the friend you want. Quality. Exactly, exactly what you want, you be. And you know what? You get your eyes off yourself and you get your eyes on other people, and it'll get rid of that loneliness and that depression immediately. How to cure and conquer loneliness. Number four, believe for quality. Believe for quality relationships. I want to highlight quality. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. Proverbs 13, verse 20. He who walks with wise people will be wise. The companion of fools will be destroyed. We become like those we're around. So don't just let anybody be your friend. People should qualify to be your friend. It's important that we look around for quality relationships. My relationships determine my achievements and my direction for my life. My relationships determine if I'm going to reach my destiny or if I'm not. Have you ever shared your dream with the wrong people? They rain on your parade. Well, Pastor, how do you qualify? How do you know who should be your friend? If you said, look for quality relationships. If you notice that, we pray that in our confession over every offering now. Over every offering. Wow, because we want favor with the right people. That's what that is. So how do you know who is a quality friend or not? Okay, here's how you know. Letter A, will they draw me closer to God? Will this person draw me closer to God? If they do, that's a quality relationship. They're going to bring the best out of you. They're not going to subtract from you. They're going to add to you. Letter B, will they cause me to be hungry for God? Will they cause me to be hungry? I'd say, I am hungry for God. Aren't you? Do they make you hungry for God? You know, I have some people in my life, Pastor Tommy Barnett. He's my pastor. And you know what? Every time I'm around him, he makes me hungry for God. Every time I'm around him, he makes me hungry and want to know God more and closer to God. Are those the kind of friends you have today? Then that's a quality relationship. Letter C, third question, will they help me? Look for quality relationships now. Will they help me fulfill God's purpose for my life? Will they help me fulfill God's purpose for my life? There are four steps I just gave you on how to cure and conquer loneliness. It's not God's will for us to do life alone. It's not good for us to be alone in solitary confinement, away from people. We need connections, and we need to be connected for whatever crisis we go through. Because the Bible says in Ecclesiastes that two is better than one, or it goes on to say actually three is better. So when one falls, there's somebody to pick you up. Oh my goodness, who is the three? You and the right friend and Jesus in the middle. Wow. Let me pray for you right now. I just want to pray for those of you. You say, Pastor, I don't know the Lord. I want to know that kind of a God who's for me, who will never disappoint me, who will never give up on me. Pastor, I'm like you. I've had people give up on me. And wow, it made me want to give up on life or the human race or the church or whatever. Pastor, I get it. I got it. I heard it. I see it. Pastor, I want to know God today. The God that's for me. Or you might be watching and say, Pastor, I'm away from God. I've been running, playing games, whatever. But God's talking to me today, Pastor, and I'm ready. I'm ready to surrender my entire life, not just part of it, But give God everything. Give Him my relationships. Give Him my habits. Give Him my routines. Give Him my failures. Give Him my wrongdoing. I'm ready to give Him everything. I want to rededicate my life. Would you pray this prayer with me? And if you're praying the prayer, on the bottom of your screen, there's a place for you to punch a button on your smartphone, your computer. That lets us know you're praying with us. We care about you. We love you. Let me pray for you. Say it with me right there where you're at. Heavenly Father, I repent of every sin, of every mistake, of every transgression I've ever committed. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me and He rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. I am so happy for you. Congratulations. Now, don't stop there. Take that next step. Take the next step. Tommy's going to come and share with you that next step. Until next time, I want you to know, I sure do miss you. If you're being fed, if you're being helped, share it with someone else. That means so much to us. That would bless our team. We love you. Until next time, don't forget, God is for you.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.